So I've just got a quick. So these are some pictures of the lovely ladies that we're celebrating. So it's a really good day to be able to celebrate all the women in our lives, be that our mums, our friends, our spiritual mothers, grandparents, anyone in our lives. Because I know I've got so many amazing women in my life that have changed it, and I wouldn't be who I am today without them. So I just want to start by saying, this is very impromptu, but for me, it's quite surreal being up here, because probably the point I was at this time last year was an awful point in my life. Like, literally awful. I'd got to the point in my life where I think I was at my darkest, literally was in one of those horrible places. I didn't want to come to church, I wasn't at church, and I was just a horrible person to be around, and just, it was awful. And I think what God's now been speaking to me coming through that is the fact that He doesn't want us to rely on things of this earth, because no booze, no drugs, no other person, no anything can amount to the way He fills us. And that's something that's really been coming through in my life at the moment. Someone spoke it at the ladies' conference. Someone did the songs we sing, and it's about God, and it's all about God, and He is so awesome, because I made the decision that I had nothing left in my life, and my last ditch attempt, I remember sitting there at MLG going, this is it, this is my last thing. God, if you don't come through now, I'm done. I don't want to do it anymore, I'm done. So God, you've got to pull that out, you've got to come, because that's it. And He did. So I'm standing here today, which is really awesome. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to hand over to Mark, who's going to talk about one of his really super awesome women in his life that should be here. So he's going to go from that, and then we'll pick up from there.
I'm not sure how to take this, that for International Ladies Day, Lauren fought with me to ask me to come up. But no, Lauren's asked me to share about an inspirational woman in my life, and I'd like to talk about my mum here. I hope you can see her. Now, I'm sure some of you here know my mum really well, and have known her for a long time, and some of you have probably just met her a few times, and some of you have probably never met her at all. So I'm just going to tell you a little bit about my mum. Now, she is lovely, but man, she can be really embarrassing at times, can't she, Tim? I mean, I know it's a parent's prerogative and a right to embarrass your kids, but she can really kind of go past it sometimes. And she's got this really frustrating thing of where she'll come and she'll join a conversation, be talking, and then suddenly just bring in this really random story that has very little to do with what's going on, and just kind of completely go off a different tangent. And I tell her, it's so embarrassing. And she's sitting there, and I'm trying to talk to somebody, and she comes in, and she starts talking to them and going off this weird story, and I'm sitting there going, Mum, why are you doing this? But do you know what the worst thing is? I've inherited that from her. And it's really frustrating. And I'll sit there, and I'll be talking to somebody, and then I'll start bringing out this random story, and then I'll finish, and I'll be like, Mark, what have you done? And it's just so annoying, but I can't stop myself. But this is my mum, and I really love her. But the thing about my mum, even though she can be a little bit embarrassing, she's a lady who really loves God. And I'm sure for now you can probably agree with me. And John, one of my images of my mum growing up, right, when I was a teenager living at home, was that as often, and I'm sure this has happened to all of you got kids, and when you were a kid, you'd go and see your mum loads of times, like in the, I don't know, I need to go and find some clothes because I need something to wear, or I've got a problem, or I need something. And I'd often go and see my mum. And a lot of times she'd be in her bedroom. And the image I've got of my mum is that I'd go in and she'd be sat on a bed reading her Bible or praying. And always she had this kind of pose. This is how I kind of imagine it I remember it in my head, is that she kind of sits on the bed and she's like this, like leaning up against the bed, arms crossed like this, hands like that. And this is the image I've got of my mum growing up, is that she was a lady who really loved God. It wasn't just somebody who was like, yeah, God's great, but somebody who really committed to God and to a lady who wanted to pray and to read her Bible and to love God through that. But she's not just somebody who loves God, but she also loves people. And for those of you who have met her will know that my mum just loves to talk. And she'll go up to you. And for those of you who've never met my mum, next time she comes to church, she'll probably come up to you and say hi and start talking to you as though you're her best friend. And that's just my mum. She loves people and she just wants to connect with people, even to the point of being embarrassing. When I was in the hospital last year, and my mum had come to visit me, and I was going to be moved ward, so I kind of got put on this wheelchair and was going to be taken away, and she kind of came with me. And so we got to this lift, and they're kind of waiting for the lift to come up. And there was another patient there with his family. And mum goes up to him and goes, do I know you? And the guy's like, no. Are you sure? I think I know you. And the guy's like, no, I don't think you do. He's like, have you been to the Cotmadine Community Centre? He's like, no. And she kind of keeps going on. Like this, I'm just saying, oh. But it's my mum's. It's her heart that she just wants to come and connect with people and just love them. And I know growing up, she would always have our friends round. And even now, if you phone her up and say, Chris, can I come round for your house for a cup of tea? She'll say, yeah, come, of course you can. Come round. And this is my mum, that she loves God and she just loves people. And that's been a real inspiration for me growing up, to seeing a lady who's been committed to God and willing to pray and read and just to love people. And I know, and that's this morning, this is who I want to share. I know such an encouragement, she's been such an encouragement for me in my journey with God. And this is my mum. I love her very much. Thank you.
So I'm afraid I'm going to be doing the main bit of this. So so this morning, I actually really struggled with the title of this. And actually, I was really fixed on it. And then actually reading my Bible, I got the title of A Risk of Faith. And as you can see here, so the story I'm going to be talking on, this is a quote from that really felt me, like I felt that, and it was really beautiful, so that's there. So I'll go on to that in a little bit. This morning I'm going to be talking to you about a risk of faith. So I thought start off by going into like the meanings behind it and the theological sort of meaning of risk. So I did some Googling, and the meaning of risk is to do something although you know that something is unpleasant or dangerous could happen. So I mean, at the minute, leaving our house is a risk. Yeah. Like, we all admit that. I go to work up London every day. I'm like, nobody touch me. You're sneezing, go away. Like, don't come near me. And that is a real thing. So a risk is going skydiving. Like, one thing I want to do, but all my days, can you imagine? And one, when I was reading through an article, one that really stood out to me was, it's a risk when we fall in love with someone. Because, and what it says is, because the only way to find true happiness is to risk being completely cut open. And I'm sure we've all felt that. We've all felt that we're deeply in love with someone and it's just like heartbroken. Mm-mm. So going on to the meaning of faith. So faith is a complete trust and confidence in someone or something. So for us and for me, faith, I associate with God. And I think faith is one of the sort of the main basic ingredients to hold and begin and work through a steady relationship with God. Though being basic actually is probably one of the most important ingredients. And to me, faith is a confidence in God that he is love and he is all powerful and he made the world and that he is for me and that no matter what, he's got me. And I've had one of those weeks there this week where I've basically got to been like, okay, Jesus has got me, because I don't have me, so Jesus better have me. I was nearly made redundant this week, literally. They took me out for my birthday breakfast. Then we had the meeting. I was like, they're just going to sacrifice me, pay for a nice breakfast, and then I'm off. I didn't. Prayed really hard, and I didn't. Fingers crossed, I'm not going back on Monday to no job. So I have slowly started to live my life going through these things and saying, but Jesus. That's my thing. Like, I'm going to get it tattooed on my forehead, is that no matter what, but Jesus. Because sometimes all is the only thing. It's the only thing. So sort of going on to the main part of the preach is, so Jesus, when obviously going through the Bible, he spent a lot of his time with sick people. And so out of the 37 miracles, 2/3 of those were healing miracles. And he used those miracles to, some of them, like the man who he lowered through the building, he used that miracle of healing to prove that he had the power to forgive our sins. Or he used it to heal someone privately and instructed them not to say anything. But there is one story that's very different from the rest. It's a remarkable healing story, and that is the woman with the bleeding condition. So I'm just going to read it here. So if you want to turn to it, feel free. So it's Mark 5, chapter 25 to 34. So I'm just going to read it to you. And a woman who was there, who had subjected to bleeding for 12 years, she had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all that she'd had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I could just touch his clothes, I would be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she had freed from suffering. At once Jesus realized the power had gone out of him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people are crowding against you, his disciple answers, and yet you ask, who touched me? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. The woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. And that last little bit, I prefer it in the Message version. It says, daughter, you took a risk of faith and now you're healed and whole. Live well, live blessed, be healed of your plague. So the nature of her condition in those times would have meant that she was classed as unclean. And I'm going to go into that a little bit. So Leviticus covers a lot of this. So it says, whenever a woman has a menstrual period, she will be ceremonially unclean for 7 days. Anyone who touches her during that time will be unclean. Anything on which the woman lies or sits during that time of her period will be unclean. So that basically meant that if I was the woman and I sat on this chair, none of you would have been able to sit on this chair. Can you imagine, like, just the sheer, like, just loneliness that she would have felt? Like, you can't even sit on the same chair as me. So I read one of the Bible, they do a Bible fiction stories on this lady, and it says that she had different chairs in her home so that she wouldn't have had to have that sort of, she'd have to stand up if she had a visitor or not. And that's so crazy. And just in Leviticus, it does go into that God isn't just out to get women. I felt like I had to clarify that. There is, if you do read on, they do draw attention to the men. And actually, God in this is trying to protect his people from diseases that are caused through bodily fluids. And actually, blood is representative of life. So it says in Leviticus, the life of every creature is in its blood. So her losing blood would have actually been associated with death. So that's sort of the background on that. Anyone who touched her would have been unclean. And I have quite a funny story of this. So back when it first started, the coronavirus thing, so I actually was really ill. So I was one of those people that you'd look on the train and be like, she's coughing. No. And I was actually at the station, so I was coughing and sneezing and sitting down at the train station. And the lady next to me heard me, Googled symptom of coronavirus, looked at me, and not just a nice one, she like looked up at me up and down, got up and walked off. And I was just like, I get you, but rude. But can you imagine that? But like her whole life, and she wouldn't have been able to share a bed with someone, she would have been able to share a chair, her family would have probably exiled her, she wouldn't have been able to do anything, have a relationship with anyone out of their fear of her. And like the loneliness, can you imagine it? Like to not be touched by another human. Like, do you know, when you're sad, you give someone a hug. She wouldn't have been able to do that. Nobody would have touched her. She would have been a complete outcast to society. And actually, in doing some research in this, her condition would have become her identity. And actually, I find it quite funny that she's not named in the story. She's named as the lady with the bleeding problem. And her disease would have become her identity. And so she would have seen many doctors who were unable to help her, and they would have come at great expense to her. And actually, for me, being someone I went undiagnosed for 8 years with the condition, no doctor believed me, they were pushed to the side, and that was probably not even the full extent that she felt. And I know I paid to see doctors and nothing, and it took 8 years. So I can somewhat relate to that, like, desperation you feel. Like, my appointment just got cancelled because of the coronavirus, and I'm devastated because I've just waited 4 months for that appointment, and I'm utterly devastated. So can you imagine what she would have felt going to these doctors and to being told, you know, take this medicine, I'm sure you'll be fine, and nothing for 12 years. Like, it's nuts. So at this point, when she met Jesus, she would have probably been completely and utterly desperate. So she hears of Jesus, a healer, and she believes and she has faith that if she can just touch his cloak, not him, his cloak, that it would be enough to heal her. She would have felt completely unworthy to be even be out or to touch Jesus. And society would have been telling her that she's unclean and broken her whole life. But she took that risk and she followed Jesus anyway. And she spent time listening and witnessing his power. And so she decided she took her chance. She took her risk. And she actually would have probably risked her life. Because in those times, they probably had no qualms about killing her for coming out of the house and touching Jesus, who would have been this amazing figure. And she would have been unclean. And she actually would have made Jesus unclean. Like, she would have probably been stoned to death for that. And so she touched his robe and she was immediately healed. And can you imagine, like, being healed? Like, that is my dream. Like, can you imagine that all those years of suffering just evaporate in one single touch? And can you imagine how she must have felt? Like, just spending her whole life being rejected because of this condition and to just be healed in one single second. So Jesus obviously felt this power leave him, and he knew someone had touched his robe, and that person was of faith, and he called out for that person to come forward. And and that lady must have been so scared, because what would Jesus have done? Would he have taken away her healing? You know, would she have been killed? What trouble would she be in? But she took that risk and she stepped forward, and the courage she must have had to have to step out and do that. And her extraordinary bravery to then share her story with everyone. And many people wouldn't have known of her. They probably wouldn't have known what was going on with her. But Jesus sat and he listened to her. And it says a lot that he listened and he had his full attention on her. Now, how amazing is that, to have God there, full attention on her, hearing her story? And Jesus knew by calling it out publicly that she wouldn't just be healed physically, she would have been healed inside as well. So all these people would have been able to witness that she was no longer unclean, because she would have probably gone back to her town and everyone would have thought she was lying. But Jesus called her out publicly so that she was able to be healed and made whole physically, mentally, her heart, everything. And he called her a daughter of God because of her faith, because of her risk that she took. And anyone could have touched Jesus's robe at that time. Anyone could have been. In fact, they probably all were. They were bumping into each other. But because of her risk, because she followed Jesus and took a risk, he healed her. And this story tells us that no matter how difficult things become, that Jesus is never quite out of our reach. That he is always there. The sick, the outcast, the broken, the unclean. We are all made whole through Jesus. And I do believe that he doesn't always promise physical healing. But what Jesus does promise is that he will restore us and he will make us sons and daughters. Because not everyone is healed physically, but through him we are made whole. So I just want to go on to what the parable of the pearl, because I think this is quite relevant. So in Matthew 13, verse 44 to 46, it says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that the man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to build a field. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant on the lookout for a choice pearl. When he discovers a pearl's great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it." And I think what we need to do with God is, just like I was saying, is that nothing on this earth is going to fill you like Jesus will. Nothing, no person, no anyone, no self-help group you go to is going to help you and fill you the way God will. And we have to give him everything, sell our land, sell our cars, sell everything, if that's what God wants. And I think that might be quite challenging if God asked me to sell everything I owned. But if he wants it, we've got to do it. And we have to have that faith that God is doing that for a reason. And sometimes when you're in the midst of it, it doesn't seem like there is a reason. And, you know, like, I can look back now and I realise the reason why I went through that. But in that, I was like, what are you doing, God? Why? Why is this thing happening? And even now, this week, I'm like, why? What's going on? Why? It just seems like things carry on, you know, you're hit. You keep getting hit. You know, you get back up and, oh, it's another hit. But God asks us to have faith, to take a risk and have faith that if God wants you there and if God puts you in it, he will get you through it. So I want to ask you this morning, are you prepared to take a risk, to step out in that crowd and be there, to touch Jesus's cloak? And we're quite lucky here in the fact that actually a lot of us aren't risking our lives, but people around the world, they go out and they worship Jesus and they're risking their lives to do that because it's illegal. And that is the faith that I want to challenge you to have this morning. Are you prepared to risk it all on Jesus? Okay. Awesome.
We're going to have a time of response because God's been speaking, hasn't he? And if you want to receive a touch from Jesus this morning, then I'm going to invite you to come forward and we're going to pray for you. Because I just believe God's been speaking really powerfully. And I think if you know that there's something in your life, you just need a touch of Jesus and you've got to take a risk of faith, your risk is stepping forward and coming forward, and we're going to pray for you. And maybe it's just one person this morning, right? Okay, maybe it's just one person, but we're going to do it because we believe God wants to touch people, doesn't he? Jesus, that one woman, she just had enough faith just to touch, yeah? So Lauren's going to pray for us and then Alice's going to sing.
Go for it, you pray.
Okay, I've got this. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you that you've been here this morning, that you've been in us and you're speaking, Lord. And I pray that this morning that we're bold enough to step out, that we're not worrying about what other people are thinking or looking at us, because that's not something I have sat down and stayed sitting because I thought about what other people would think of me, Lord. I pray that this morning that we don't worry about others, that we step out and we take that risk of faith for you, Lord Jesus, for nothing else. Amen.